All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
It's our school of prayer again today. And I'm going to do two things today. I would like us to pray about some thing, for two things. One, we pray for our country. Again, we never get tired. We handle situations. And then number two, I would like us to pray for ourselves based on what we have been learning concerning the spread of the kingdom of God. So there are two things. Let's start from here. All right? Now, let's start from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2. I just want to bring out a principle here concerning contending. Let's already read from around verse 24. I just want to bring out a principle here. Two verses we will read, two portions we will read. First of all, from Deuteronomy chapter 2, and then we'll now go to the book of Judges. Now, see verse 24. It says, "Arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. Look, I have given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle." Now, I won't read beyond this. I just want to bring out an issue here. God said, "I have given Sihon the Amorite and his land into your hand." The man was a king in Heshbon. He said, "What you now need to do is begin to take possession by contending with him in battle." That is, if you are going to receive the thing that God wants you to have, then what you are going to do in life is to contend in battle. Nothing that God gives you just drops on your laps. I was saying something earlier, that when we finish the series on the spread of the kingdom of God, I actually would like to teach this particular series extensively concerning our lives. And in my own personal experience, I haven't found a method that's just a practical method, all right? It's not... You can use your own method. But I found a practical method that works for me as an individual. But the principle behind it is the same. If you find what God has given to you, then you begin to contend to get it. Contention means that there will be opposition. Contention means that there will be resistance. Contention means that the thing is being held by somebody currently. And you need to dispossess that person and take the thing into your hands. I want you to understand that principle. That life is always about contending. That, you know, who asked me something just now? That, yes, Okemuti was here and I were discussing. That one of the things that they're discussing on radio, that somebody asked the question that when they say the wealth of the wicked will be converted into the hands of the righteous, that so a lot of Christians now settle down. They are waiting for God to dispossess the wicked man and give his wealth to the hands of the Christian. I said, listen, he said, "What do I have to say about that?" I said, when the Lord gets ready to do that, he will give that wealth to the hands of responsible Christians, not those who are sitting down waiting for the wealth to be converted into their hands. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say here. That is, when the Lord goes out, he's going to prepare cities and give people to rule over. But then he first gives those people money. Say, "Do business with this until I come." It is according to how they succeeded in doing that business that God now gives things into their hands. I'm bringing an issue here, that there's no room for complacency in Christianity. There's nothing like, "God will do this for me, just sit down and do absolutely nothing." What you are supposed to do, and let me just quickly drop this by the way, concerning the matter of material prosperity. A lot of times Christians have heard a lot of gospel. The truth has entered into their hearts. They have been empowered. And a year will pass, 2 years will pass, and they say, "How come I'm not seeing this outwardly? Spiritually, I'm prosperous. I believe that my soul is prosperous. What is now happening outwardly?" The truth is that many times people are not contending. The thing that God wants to give to them is in the hands of somebody. And when I say somebody, I don't mean your neighbor. A lot of times when you are looking at an unbeliever, you are covetous. You are coveting what the man has. Forget that. I'm talking about spiritual principles here. That if something is withholding things from you, you now have to fight. All right, what you need to know is a method that God says you should use to fight to get what is yours. Take the matter of money as an example. God does not bless idleness. He does not bless laziness. He does not bless covetousness. Do you understand? One of the things a Christian learns to do for God to convert prosperity into his hands is that, what should I be doing? What is it that is mine to do with my hands? Many people miss it at that point because what the Holy Spirit begins to lead them to, they don't want to do that. They rather go and get a job and sit down and do nothing and get a fat salary. And the Holy Spirit says, "I will never cooperate with that." They will write one application today. Holy Spirit will say, "No, you're not getting it." They will write another one tomorrow. They sow a seed. They prophesy. Holy Spirit will say, "No, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Go and start making plantain chips." He said, "No, now. Do you not have a university degree?" Holy Spirit said, "No problem." Yeah, but listen, you know, Thank God for hunger. Somebody say amen for hunger. Amen. Hunger is very persuasive. Hunger is very persuasive. Sometimes hunger will say, oh boy, it's not your calling, oh, I know. Let me tell you the truth, just by the way. Someone say, this is not my calling. Calling, this is my calling, it's my calling for those who have eaten. If you have not eaten, you don't have a calling apart from work. Any work is your calling. Did you hear what I said? Any responsible labor is a calling of a man that is idle. You see a man is jobless doing that, he said, this is not my calling. Who cares what your calling is? Sitting at home is not your calling. Amen? Hunger is not your calling. Amen? As a man I knew, I've told the story a few times. You're totally broke all the time. All the time. 100% of the time, you're flat broke. Somebody say you have skill in this area. For example, you're a very good mechanic. If you tune an engine like this, the car will turn to Formula One race car. You say, no, I've been called to ministry. That tune of engine is not my calling. Listen, if you are hungry, go and tune the engine. If you think God spoke to Paul, anyway, let's not go there. I'm about to start preaching another message. Let me come back. I'm sure I've helped somebody. I'm talking about the principle of what? How you contend. All right? So God has given you something. That's how it is in life. You must learn to do what? To do what?
Contend.
To do what?
Contend.
That this is battle, this fight. That's the principle. Now, I just wanted to drop that one first. In fact, the other scripture, let me just quote it. You know the story of, what I want to bring out is this. Satan sometimes, he tries to lay hold of what does not belong to him. Now, I've given the first principle that God gives you something. You have to go and contend in battle and take it. Then number two, sometimes Satan tries to collect that which is not rightfully his own. Whether it's confusion or deliberate wickedness, I don't know. What I mean is that either he does not know that the body of Moses is not his own, or he just wants to make life difficult for Michael. He decided to contend with Michael for the body of Moses. Sometimes Satan also comes to collect that which belongs to you. What do you do again? You contend. There was a time, with the time Israel, Jephthah led Israel into battle. The same thing happened. One of the Gentile kings wanted to collect what God had given to them. Again, Israel had to rise up. Jephthah led them in battle. And they contended and won, and they won the right to retain that which belongs to them. Let me just drop this again for you. In life, if things don't seem to be working the way they are supposed to work, watch. Is there something you're supposed to contend for? It doesn't mean that God does not want you to have it. If you're always falling sick in January, it's not the will of God. What did I say?
It's not the will of God.
What did I say?
It's not the will of God.
It's never the will of God. What you should do is find out why. What is going on? What is the reason why this January is always welcoming me with back pain together with a fever modified by headache and cooperating with, general body ailments? Every January, it's not the will of God. What you need to do is fight and say, what is it? What is going wrong? Now, please, I know I'm trying to explain all of these things. Now, having said that, let me now get to the reason why I'm saying this. If you believe that God has planted you in this place where you are today, give me an amen.
Amen.
When I say, I don't mean Kingdom World Ministries, as if don't go home. You will go home when we close. What I mean is that you are living, those of us who physically are here, are in Enugu, all right? Somebody you are listening to, maybe you are in Anambra State, you are in Zamfara State, or you are in Ghana, or you are in somewhere in Europe, or North America, or South America. Wherever you are, God has planted you there. If you believe that, once again, those of us physically here, give me an amen.
Amen.
What it means, therefore, is that God wants you to possess that place where he has planted you. Now, you must understand when we use the word possession now, we are not earthly people. What I mean by earthly people now, I have 10 hectares of land does not mean, that's not what Christianity is. If 10 hectares of land is important for what you have to do in life. God says, go and build up an industry and you need 10 hectares of land, or you have a family and you have 500 in the family. I need to build, assume you adopted all the children, all right? You have one wife and 500 children, whatever. go ahead. All right, 10 hectares of land is good for you. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
It's not a bad thing. It is okay. Again, small digression. Christians, it's about purpose. Our reasoning is concerning what? Purpose. You say, what am I doing with what I'm trying to acquire or, you know, lay hold of? If you need a private jet to fly around the whole world, don't mind those who are criticizing those who own private jets. Their problem is poverty and ignorance. Don't mind them. You hear what I said? I'm begging you, just join those people who are like you, who are going to far places, who need to go privately. Talk with them. Don't talk with people who don't know what is moving the world. Are you getting my point? Yeah, I'm serious. I'm very, very serious. Are you getting what I'm saying? But no, really, I always like to let Christians understand that, all right? It's very important, okay? That's how we reason. If you need a private ship to cruise you around, and that's the only way the will of God will be done, I don't know what you are doing, though, but it's none of my business. As long as you don't come begging me for money, raising the offering every time I see you, praise the Lord, if you don't give me money, I will not be able to fly private. That one, I know you have missed God. But if God is supplying the funds and you are going to play and you are not baby, say, what about the poor? Apparently, your assignment is not to the poor people. Nothing wrong with that. Are you getting my point? And if you want to remember the poor, do like Dangote. Wake up and just go and give them 100 million naira. Is that not good? I would rather you fly private jet and give 300 million naira to the poor than be trekking and giving nothing to the poor. Somebody say amen if you agree with me.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now, that's just a small digression, okay, to explain the fact that we are not worldly people. We always think according to purpose. So what I'm talking about, possessing something, all right, that God has given you, I'm not just talking about material things, okay? Let me give you an example. If you are in a country like this, any country you are in, and your prayers don't carry weight, you can't affect what is happening locally and nationally, then you have not yet possessed that place properly. You should be able to pray and make things change. Those are the things I'm trying to explain. Now, please bear that in mind. So I am persuaded, I don't have time to go into that in details, that we are supposed to be in charge in this, let's take where we are right now, in this environment. Do you get my point? We are supposed to be in charge by, not just physically now, but spiritually. We pray and God puts peace down. One of the greatest testimonies for me personally is the day I told you one man came to town and he said that, so finally he's meeting me. That what brought me to Enugu and all of that. And he shook my hand and thanked me for staying in Enugu. He said, I am sure that it's because of you and people like you, maybe not me alone, of course, people like you, that the development that has come to this state has come. I'm sure it's because of people like you that progress is coming. He's a native of Enugu state, living in another part of Nigeria. And he said, I'm happy you stayed. Because he was curious. He said, you are not from this state, naturally. How did you arrive here? The story was long. But he said, thank you for staying behind. All right? And I'm sure that you are dragging blessing, spiritual principle now, into the place by your presence. All right? That is very, very important for us Christians to understand. Now, that's what I mean by having dominion. That's what I mean by having ownership of a place. Now, Satan doesn't like that. You'll see where I'm going in a moment. Satan doesn't like that. You know what he likes? He likes Boko Haram. He likes bombing. He wants to wake up in the morning and hear there was an explosion down somewhere and 16 people were killed and 70 were injured and the hospitals are filled with injured people. That's what he wants to like. That's what he likes. He wants to hear that a hurricane came to town and blew up all the roofs in your neighborhood. That is what Satan likes. Now, where am I going? He will have his way unless you contend and say no. Do you get my point? Except you say no, he will have his way. Now, I'm going somewhere. You'll be surprised at where I started this whole thing from. In fact, when I get there, you say, hey, is that what you're talking about? Yes. First principle, we contend to retain what is ours. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We always pray for peace here. So peace will stay with us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Last year or the year before, now, for those of us who are in this state, it was declared the safest state in this country. Some time ago, the IG declared that, and he wasn't prophesying. He was speaking based on police records. You're talking about violent crimes is fewest in this hour at that time. But listen, it was not always like that. When I came to Enugu, it wasn't like that. It wasn't. And I'm saying things like that don't happen just spontaneously. As Christians, we keep on believing God and praying to make sure such things happen. Do you follow? Now, but Satan doesn't like it. So you know what he tries to do? He tries to stir up strife, anger, violence. You see where I'm going? Maybe I'd like to be very practical. Because over the last, one of our brothers last week said he wanted to talk to me. And he said that, "I've ever heard of Radio Biafra." I said, No, I never heard of it. I know I used to read something. But he was very concerned with the kind of anger and animosity that whoever is broadcasting on it is pushing into the air. So after that, I decided to start doing some research. I went online, I asked questions, and today I talked to one of our brothers. He told me that he tuned in once, and what he heard, it wasn't funny. And that this man has great following, especially amongst jobless people. Most of the time when you've gone to work, you don't have that time. In fact, when you are building a business, you don't want commotion. But you see, I want to just tell you something about how spiritual things work. You know Adolf Hitler? See, what Amma is doing is exactly what Adolf Hitler was doing. That was how he turned the hearts of the average German until they murdered 6 million innocent people and felt nothing about it. Yeah, that was what he did. That's how those things begin. When I hear, it's not about, this is not about, you see, most people behave like that. They appear as if they are nationalistic. They are watching out for your interest. I've told you, anybody who's pointing fingers at somebody else for the reason why you're not making progress is of his father, the devil. I preach that, you hear me, I preach all the time. Once somebody is pointing to somebody else as the reason why you are not making progress, the fellow is of his father, the devil. If he's a pastor, he says, "You know why you're not making progress? Your mother-in-law is a witch. Just know that guy is hungry. Give him an offering and go somewhere else." If anybody tells you, it's your father's uncle that says that all your father's children will not do well in business because the man was an Ogboni man, get up and go to another church. Because either you have not given your life to Christ, in which case, what is your problem? Go and give your life to Christ. Or the pastor who's talking to you does not know what he's talking about. He does not know the rights of a Christian. What I've told you, you know, I keep on saying this. I want to say it until the very sound of it annoys you. Somebody calls you, say, "Please, oh, pray." Why? Did they hear that your uncle's family, they are gathering to pray? Anytime they pray like that, you know, they are praying against other people. Once you are not a wicked man in your heart, the prayers of those who are praying cannot do anything to you. They say Balak was raising up altars with money, and therefore you need to raise up altar also to fight Balak. That's called dividing and reading half of the Bible. Because if you read the whole thing, you will have noticed that Israel did not do anything. They were just sleeping, going about their business. And all the offerings that Balak raised came to what? Nothing. Even though, don't forget, Balaam, who he hired, was the most powerful prophet, was the most powerful spiritual man at that time. It was known that he would turn the tides of battle. That was why Balak sent for him. Yet the same Balaam opened his mouth and said, "We have raised enough sacrifices, it will not work. Let me now tell you how you will win. Make sure these people sin against their God." The only thing that puts a Christian in problems, I've said again and again. One, you have what? Ignorance. Two, you have, let me leave that as number three. Two, you have just recompense of reward for iniquity. If you start putting your hands into trouble, they are sharing stolen money you collect, you eat it, you will have diarrhea. The blood of Jesus has not yet cured you from that diarrhea. It is only when you repent. Say, "This stolen money, I will not share again." That is the only thing. When you start breaking the laws of God, that is when Satan has a hold in your life. If you don't do any of the above, don't worry about it. You know, I've said this thing, I'm sure you've heard me say at least 200 times. Nobody can point fingers at somebody else as the cause of your problems. Now, back to our issue. See, this is our area. Somebody says our own. Say it's our own now.
Our own.
You don't believe it. Say it's my own.
It's my
Yes, put it like that. Mine.
Mine.
Say it, mine.
Mine.
This land,
this land
is mine.
Mine.
Now, why am I saying so? It is your duty to ensure nobody spreads strife so as to cause, you know, which word do I use now? To cause trouble in the land. I believe that it was important that because I didn't know about it until was it Saturday or last Tuesday? Was it Saturday? Okay, it was Saturday I was told. I didn't know anything about it. I just, you know. But I just want all of us to realize that don't think it is just one man talking. That is when if you create too much peace and too much progress and too much order, some people don't like it. Satan doesn't like it. So what he does is to try and stir up strife. And human spirits work very interestingly. You sit down there, you keep on soaking the anger. I told you one young boy, he killed a man one day. And they asked, why did you do it? This was in the United States. I watched it on TV. He said, I don't know why. Good boy. Typical good. If you know the way Americans behave, he was the captain of their basketball team in the second, well, what they call high school. He was his captain. He just took an old white man, shot him and killed him because he was feeling happy. They finally executed him. By the time he was like 19 or 20 or something. Because he did that when he was 17 years old. They did everything to try and get him, you know, put him in life imprisonment. The courts refused. And they took this young boy and killed him. Christina Mampo did the review of the program that the documentary on it, all right? So he followed the guy from the time he was in prison. So you watched the fellow. By the time they were in the program, you see his dead body. They had taken him to the execution chamber and they had executed him. But the question is that, why did he do it? He said he doesn't know. And as he was saying it, I believe it was a word of knowledge, was the Holy Spirit, he gave me insight. I just knew why he did it. And I said, his father wouldn't guess, but this boy has been poisoned. His mind has been poisoned. He found a white man under his power one day. He didn't know when he killed the man because he grew up angry with the white man. You know, I preached a few days ago when I was talking about how to pray for your loved ones. Now, I explained something. One of the things that Satan tries to do is to fill people's hearts with anger. You know, you hear that there was bomb blast in Yobe State. And yes, you know, that's the human response. And that's why I talk about Christians. We have to contend. Life is battle. You say, no, I refuse to put in anger and animosity into my heart. We just refuse it entirely. That young boy, I listened to it. I said, this also happened to him. He was a good boy. They asked him why. He said, I don't know. Will I say it was my friends? He said, no. That I'm the leader amongst them. I'm a team captain, for goodness sake. People don't lead me. I lead. So my friends could not have influenced me. What happened? The boy was at a loss. I watched it and I just said, poor guy. This guy was an outlet for the anger in his community. They killed somebody, they had to kill him. So when people are infusing things into the environment like that, you and I have a responsibility to ensure, number one, well, you have heard enough, let's put it like that. Don't listen to him. One, yeah, I never heard it. Number two, it's a spiritual battle. You know, these things, words are very powerful. Go to Rwanda and go and see the story of what happened in Rwanda. Long before that, it was on radio. They were calling the Tutsis all kinds of names. Cockroaches. This and that. They call cockroaches. Exterminate the cockroaches. These people, they didn't know a spell was cast upon them. Normal people killed their neighbors until almost 1 million people were dead in about 2 months. 800,000 people. I don't know whether it will still be available. You see videos. You watch the videos. You see a whole river covered with corpses. Why you kill 800,000 people? Nobody was burying them. But the point is that it started on radio. People will go on radio and be calling other people names. The Lord is good. I got the reports over the weekend. Since then, I've gone online. I've read, you know, I've asked people around. I've gone online to find out what's happening. I just said, this is not right. We have to contend for the peace that God has given us. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. We have to contend for the peace. You don't know what's pushing a lot of people, but one thing I can assure you of is that Satan uses people. He does. And it is our duty to ensure that thus far and no further. If we all say, as people of God, and say, Lord, no, we don't agree. That's all we need to say. the Father will reject this. Because if you know, just go and read up on it. The problem that happened in Burundi and Rwanda, Rwanda especially, turn on the radio. It was just radio. They kept on, before people knew, the whole populace was filled with a murderous spirit. You see a man, you know, it was crazy. His neighbor was somebody, he just take a machete and start killing his own neighbors. But then they were done, 800,000 people were dead from the hands of their neighbors. They didn't discriminate. See, remember one reverend sister they showed on TV, then they asked her in the head. You see the deep scar. Who? What? She didn't do anything. She was in a church. Why? Because people went on radio and I keep on telling you, read this book, Final Quest. You see the way spirits are poured. Just pour the spirit upon the populace. And once they drank of that spirit, they did not know it was. By the time they finished, they didn't say, "We're wondering what were we doing?" He was at that time under a spell. If you wanted to see the release of the hordes of hell, go and watch the story of Rwanda. Do you know what he said? 100,000 people. Do you know how long it took Adolf Hitler to kick 6 million people? Some of the videos are horrible. You see the report. I don't know how those guys managed to film. They film people on the road. Somebody go, "This one is still breathing. Watch it." But the point, you know where it began from? Somebody was talking on radio. I even heard that somebody released an album around that time. And we were playing the music. Turn the heart of husbands against their wives. Why? Because the husband is a Hutu, the wife is a Tutsi. If you ever saw Paul Kagame refer to it, and you know that man is hot till tomorrow. Paul Kagame is the head of state. He's a Tutsi. What pained him was United Nations had soldiers there. Those ones didn't do anything because they had instructions not to interfere. They said, why? He said, they didn't care. That's what he said. I was watching it. He said, they didn't care. Just a bunch of Africans killing themselves. They didn't care. In fact, the guy who, the head of United Nations peace missions there, a Canadian general, the man said he never recovered. That he never recovered. That he's still taking drugs till today to kill the memories. And this is a soldier, a general, that the thing damaged his mentality forever. Permanently, he's a depressed man. He takes drugs every day to keep his head together. I don't know what I said. I watched this thing many years ago. Where did it begin? Somebody was talking on radio, releasing music. I just said, like they told me that. let me not go into that. I said, that guy, he should have done this in Borno State. Maybe nobody there. But here, lie, forget it. You have chosen the wrong place. If you go to church, go confess your anger to God. But this one, you now want to put it over the populace. I, personally, have said what? No. I no agree. Are you getting my point? Yes. And that's what I mean by contending. These are contentious matters. These are issues of contending. We are contending for peace. We are contending for prosperity. Because see this evil spirit. It keeps on looking for how to destabilize people. It fought. It did not try to carve an enclave for itself. It didn't work. Nice. Of course, it couldn't use much of male suicide bombers. Now it's sending female suicide bombers everywhere. We don't even know who they are fighting now. One bomb went off in the church. Bila said the girl misread. Because all the other bombs have been going off in mosques. The way I see it is the devil is just desperate. Just desperate. Just trying to cause trouble. And if you go and see that Rwanda story, let me tell you something. This was what happened in that Rwanda matter. When this will finish killing and the war broke out, the Tutsis responded and all of that. So they drove the Hutus into into the neighboring countries, and they had to move into displaced people's camps run by some agencies, including the United Nations. You know what happened? Cholera now went in. I don't know how many cholera. Cholera was just killing people on a daily basis. So the one that the machetes and bullets did not kill, cholera said, let's take our portion. Cholera killed and killed. And because it was war zone, cholera has only one treatment. It doesn't have medical treatment. That is, there's no tablet to take to kill cholera. What you need is hygiene to control it. And then you need what you call fluids. That's IV fluids, infusions, to treat it. Those were things they could. Where was the hygiene? They didn't have that. These people were just dying by the droves on a daily basis. That is what. If I told myself, say those people in Rwanda must have killed some missionaries. That's the only explanation for God to allow that to happen to people. You must have killed missionaries. I don't know what else you could have done. You must have killed a prophet. And the prophet said, you are killing me. God, into your hand I commit my spirit. He forgot to say the other prayer. No. You know what Jesus said about Jerusalem? I'm going to send you prophets. So some of them they will kill. He said, why? So that all the blood that was shed in Jerusalem from the time of Abel to Zechariah, who perished between the porch and the altar, said the vengeance will be brought upon this generation. If I want them to connect with that curse, what do? I send them more people to kill. So for all the people of God that they persecuted over the first few years after Jesus left, God added everything together. 70 years afterwards, when the Romans came, the Romans made the Rwandan thing look like a joke. The Romans killed everything in sight. Whether you're a woman, a man, a child, an adult, it didn't concern them. Once you moved, they killed. Then when they finished, you know what they did? They destroyed the city so that there would be no city there again. Then to fulfill the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, not one stone will be left on top of another. They removed the stones one by one. So that when they were through, not one stone was left on top of another. When Jesus talks, don't joke. Hey, I'm telling you, the words of Jesus, like they say, no, darling. The thing gets fulfilled in, that is, literally, they said the Roman soldiers broke down the wall of the temple one stone by stone. Somebody said, I don't know how true it is, but that was what I heard, that they heard that gold was buried in the wall. So that encouraged them to come. And if you know what the temple was like, they said our modern-day cathedrals, 8 could sit on the platform of the temple side by side. It wasn't a small building. Why? Because they were killing prophets. That was the thing. But we are preaching the word of God. Somebody say amen. And we have asked for mercy, all right, from the Lord concerning the land upon which we dwell. And we are bringing peace and prosperity into the land in the name of Jesus. Amen. Therefore, let us quickly rise and pray. Just for a minute. Let's just start thanking God, first of all, for what he has given us. First, the knowledge of the word. Just thank him. Say, Lord, thank you because I know the truth. Just thank him. Thank him because you have light. Thank him because you are not in darkness. Thank him because you understand the kind of battle that you are involved in, that you are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Just thank the Lord. Thank him because he has made you righteous, and for that reason he has given you authority, especially in this land. Just thank him for that. Say, Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Because my words count. Say, Lord, thank you for the name of the Lord Jesus. That name that is greater than every other name. Because these are the weapons that we use in warfare. We understand righteousness. We understand our right. And we understand that the name of the Lord Jesus is greater than any other name, than the mention of that name. So let's declare, say, in the name of Jesus. Say it, in the name of Jesus.
In the name.
Say, at the mention of that name of Jesus,
at the mention of that name of Jesus,
every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow.
Demons will flee.
Demons will flee.
Principalities will run.
Principalities will run.
Therefore, we declare
that in the name of Jesus,
peace dwells in our land.
In the name of Jesus,
we rebuke the spirit of strife.
We rebuke that strife spirit.
We rebuke the spirit of anger.
We rebuke the spirit that's stirring up to war.
We command it to stop.
We command it to move away.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now, what please, I want to say amen to this, all right?
Every mouth that is speaking against the counsel of God for this region and for this nation, we command it to be shut in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every spirit that is possessing anyone, wherever that spirit came from, using any human mouth to cause strife to be poured into the land, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We paralyze everything that they are using. We cause them to malfunction in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We uproot them from wherever they're hiding. See, the truth of God is moving from this region.
Amen.
Spreading into the rest of Nigeria.
Amen.
Spreading into the rest of Africa.
Amen.
And spreading into the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, anything that will disturb that foundation, we disturb it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We paralyze it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We say, you dividing spirit, get out from here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We refuse you, you can't stay here.
Amen.
Hold your brother's hand. Hold somebody's hand beside you. In the name of Jesus, we bind ourselves together by the love of Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen.
By the Spirit of God, we are bound together in unity in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know one thing, there are not many things that God hates. But God says, one thing I hate is anyone who divides brothers. Lord, let your anger be manifested against that which you hate in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, the body of Christ is stronger than any human attachment. The blood of Jesus is stronger than any human blood. And we are bound together by that blood. Lord, you know we have prayed again and again and we have said this country is your own. People could go to America, go to London. We said, no, we like this place and from here we are going to spread your truth. And we read the scriptures, Lord, and you said that we should pray so that we have peace wherever you keep us. You have kept us here. And therefore, peace we will have here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everything that will stir up the opposite of peace, that will stir up unrest, anything that will stir up war, brothers fighting brothers, neighbors fighting neighbors, we command it to come to an end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every tongue that pours a wrong spirit into the air, you will not prosper in this our own region in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We cleanse our airwaves.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We say, Lord, let your glory fill our air.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the spirit of truth fill the air.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let the spirit of love fill the air.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In summary, Lord, let the spirit of Christ take charge of our airwaves.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We declare again that peace is our portion.
Amen.
I said peace is our portion.
Amen.
Progress is our portion.
Amen.
Prosperity is our portion.
Amen.
We have the good atmosphere for the spread of truth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me, I'm jealous for one thing. This truth that we are preaching. You know that you know God opened the door. In fact, it's not to Kemonti that God opened the door for, it's us. You understand my point? Yes, because it's the truth that we all believe. That God has said, okay, you go and declare it on air. More doors will open like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
More doors will open like that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors by which truth will be spread into the airwaves in this region in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every lying tongue, we command it to be closed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Even if it's from a church pulpit, be closed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If it's on the airwaves, be closed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, let your glory fill this place.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, because you have heard us. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let me just, the brother was telling to me on Saturday, let me just tell you and everybody something. Don't fight anybody. Do you get my point? Don't get into argument with any bus conductor. Yeah, it's true. It's unnecessary. These are spiritual battles. Fight your battles spiritually. You know, the same way the voice arose, if you die one day, someone said, there used to be one guy talking on radio. Where is he now? Say, that guy, go, don't wreck by now. You know, that kind of thing. It's become history. That's how it is. I remember the story I read from John G. Lake. It's how plague disease was, you know, ravaging the countryside. And one of his brothers went to pray, and God opened his eyes after many days of praying. He suddenly saw the flock of demons that were just killing people, wipe out a whole village in less than a month. What I mean is that in a month, half of the village is dead. People were then dying faster than they could bury them. They prayed, just chased those demons. They could see them physically. They chased those things out of the area. One of the things that's happening is that when you see demons that kill people, when they are being chased from one area, they look for somewhere else to go. That one in Rwanda and Burundi, some people said that it was going to South Africa, end of apartheid. People prayed. They didn't know where to go. Just look at these people now. They have anger here. They just pushed inside there. And that's it. What should have happened in South Africa now happened in Rwanda because it was close by. This is a spiritual. So that's what I'm saying. Don't contend with anyone. Don't argue. You only discuss with those who are on your frequency. Do you understand? If somebody's not on your frequency, what do you want to say? It's like you're arguing with a Muslim that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born. The first statement is that as far as it's concerned, although God and Allah are not the same thing anyway, that the God doesn't have any son. Do you get my point? It's like I start arguing with somebody that, how do I say it? A man who has never married, doesn't have children, I say, this guy is your son. Do you understand? You're not on the same frequency at all. These are spiritual matters. You don't argue with people that are not thinking like you. I find that a lot of times I get angry with people. But this I don't argue with anymore. When you are junior to me, I will insult you and kick you out of my office. I do it to my students a lot. You come to my office and say that Nigeria cannot. One boy did it to me one day. I said, get up and get out. So Nigeria cannot have uninterrupted power supply. I said, why not? He said, because minimum wage is 7,500 naira. He came to ask me for a favor. That was it. You don't know that there are some areas you don't touch. If you tell me, Pastor Banky, your father, I'll say he died 8 years ago. That's what I'm going to tell you. I know go vex so. But if you tell me, say, Nigeria can never have a functioning rail system, just thank God this is not America. Because I would have had a gun, I would have shot in the leg. There are things you don't say near me. There are things you don't say. They touch me very, very badly. You know, some things they vex person. These are things we are praying about every day. You now open, you now say, oh ho. In fact, it's now I understand why prophets they kill person. No? Old Testament, those prophets could kill. Say, thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, one bag of rice shall go for 600 naira. In the main market in Enugu. And one bucket of tomatoes shall be sold only for 50 naira. And that will be in Holy Ghost market. Do you understand? A new market. And then a man looked and said, ha! Pastor, how shall these things be? Even if God were to open the windows of heaven that is raining tomatoes and rice, human beings go even grease seller at that price. God didn't say kill him. The prophet was provoked. He just said, You will see it. But the only thing is that you will not eat of it. If man of God, they talk, be careful. Don't challenge. Do you get my point? Don't challenge. If you don't know, just do like Mary. How shall this thing be seen that I know no man? Just, you know, like me, say, I don't know, you know, like they say, I don't know Buko. That's all you just say. You know what will happen? prophet, Anonobuku. The guy I like, people like, is it Ezekiel? Son of man, shall these bones live? I'm not there. That's all. Is that you that asked the question? I'm sure you know the answer. That's what Ezekiel said. Thou knowest, Lord. Because the man said, this bone, in his mind, these bones ain't living. That's what he was saying in his heart. How can these bones live? But on the surface, Lord, you know now. that is how the prophet used to kill. That's how they killed that guy. Elisha was so angry. He said, you will see it, you will eat it. That means if you open mouth in an area that I pray against, I pray about, believing God for, you're my personal enemy. If you're a Christian, I won't talk to you again. I won't just tell you, I just take you like you don't know anything, that your head doesn't work. That's my attitude. So that's what I'm just trying to say. Listen, don't argue with anybody. Don't get into a fight. Don't get into a fight with a man who's already possessed with the Spirit. You know what I'm trying to say? When he's talking, just say, no, Jesus is the only salvation we need in this world. All of us are sinners. The soul that sinned, he shall die. No matter how angry he is, he will die if he's a soul that sinned. Are you a soul that sinned? Don't argue on what is happening, whether Nigeria is a zoo or Nigeria is an ocean. Don't argue. Don't argue. Just say, whether you're in a zoo or you're inside a lagoon, wherever you are, if you die in your sins, you will still go to hellfire. Every man will maintain after that. Say, are you serious? Yes, read this tract. The soul that sinned, that's who's going to hell. And the guy will read it. They want to give your life to Christ. That's when you start arguing with people. That's when the fellow has given his life to Christ. He's beginning to learn the word of God. Until that point, I beg, leave the fellow alone. Do you get my point? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's it. That's for that. I said I had two things in mind for us today. This second one, we'll do. Okay, let's say we'll continue that next time, but let's just introduce it. Remember, this is what we have been teaching on Saturdays now about the spread of the kingdom of God, and I just want us to take that as our prayer point for today. We read from the book of Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus said something to us that you are the light, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And what we are supposed to do as salt of the earth and light of the world, the primary assignment as salt, let's start with the salt thing, is not to go out and try to do anything. The primary assignment for salt is to ensure that it remains salty. That's verse 13. It said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It says, you are the light of the world. And we talked about that salt matter, that salt is used for two purposes. Number one is for preservation of, number one is to fertilize good in the land, and that is to ensure that good grows, to ensure that good progresses. Then number two is to prevent evil from spreading. That is what salt does. But our emphasis is not just on what salt does, but on how it does it. How does it do it? It's not by any conscious thing on the part of salt, but that salt just remains itself. Salt needs only two things to be able to have its effect. Number one is to be present. Number two is to remain itself. That's what the Bible says. It does not need to preach. Now, let me just emphasize that again. There's a part of preaching, but it does not need, that is not what makes it salt. It is that it is present and it has retained its saltness. What we are saying is that as children of God, how we affect our society first and foremost is to ensure that we are there, and number two, we do not conform to the world, because conformity to the world is how we lose our saltness. That's very important for us to bear in mind. So if you're in the midst, okay, look at what we've been talking about. People are buying, a man is trying to pour forth, now listen to this, what I want to say is very, very important. He's trying to pour forth anger and animosity and division into the hearts of the common person on the road. But God says it will not work as long as my people don't buy it. Do you understand my point? Yes. From the last gist I heard, has even tried to put into church matters, trying to divide church based on tribal sentiment. God said that is where the danger is, all right? Because the effect of salt is as long as the people remain salty. It's just, I told you, David Paulson said that their own studies is that if you have 5% of committed Christians in an area, all right, evil cannot continue to spread there. They tend to be a restraining force concerning evil in that place by just being 5 out of 100. It doesn't mean that going around fighting people. It's a spiritual principle. They're from their heart, from their spirit, something is radiating out and it's affecting things in the environment. These things are carried by evil forces. And so if they come into an area and what is coming out for the people there, there's a strong, positive, divine energy. Those negative evil forces are, you know, they are repelled. They are pushed away from there. So, but what they, when they get the advantage, if it's not, is when the people there are not emitting that kind of attitude. So if we do not buy into the wrong thought processes, if we do not buy into the wrong attitudes, if we do not buy into the evil spirit, okay, that the man is trying to sell to us, then the other people around you, they are safe. That's just the way it is. This things, they are, everybody is fighting for a critical mass. Let me use that expression. In fact, even in bacteriology, for those of you who know some bacteriology, you know what they call quorum sensing. Anybody doing bacteriology here? Should know now. And it's what they call quorum sensing, in which bacteria, they need to be present in an adequate amount. And when they are present an adequate amount, that is when they cannot begin to cause an infection. There's a terminology for those of you who do bacteriology. It's called quorum sensing, all right? So everybody's looking for a critical mass. That's the point I'm making. Everybody's looking for a critical mass. The spirit of God is also looking for a critical mass. The evil spirit is also looking for a critical mass to be able to spread its evil. What is our duty? Just ensure that you do not contribute to the critical mass of the negative side. Make sure that you are always contributing to the critical mass of God, that is being a salt. That is what is most important. Let me just say it again. That's why if you are going into business, listen, money is not the most important thing in life. Righteousness is more important. Like we're talking on radio today, Israel and I and Okemute, we're just recording for radio, that's our radio broadcast. One of the things that I preach on, prosperity of the soul. One of the things that we explained there is that the Bible says that a poor man that walks in his integrity is better than a rich man that has plenty of money. That's scripture. That is, are you talking about wealth? The prosperity of the soul, we said, is that you walk in integrity. If you are walking in integrity, God says you are richer than the man who has a lot of money, but he does not have integrity. And when God says something is better, it literally means it is better. That is, the man that has integrity will do better in life overall. His children will do better in life. They will attain more. He will achieve more in life than the fellow who has a lot of money does not have integrity. What am I trying to explain? So when you go out, I said, Christians, when we are doing business, what we are looking for is, number one, a good name. Number two, we want to establish righteousness. We are not there, first of all, to make money. For us, money is all other things shall be added unto you. It is not, first of all, about what we get. It is what, how are we serving people? Don't ever do a business where you go home, you don't have a sense in which I have served somebody. If all you have is a sense of I have made money, you have lost. If you don't have a sense of I have served somebody, no matter how much money you are making, shut it down. You are working against the will of God. You must have this sense that I have served somebody. I have served people. When I go out every day, I am bringing forth service into the lives of people. That is a primary thing. After that, we now talk about whether this is sustainable. Are they paying properly? Am I working well? All right. That's how it is with Christians. And when we have the right thoughts, we have the right spirit, then what we are doing is that we are remaining salt of the earth. And I'm saying this, that we automatically, without you trying to do anything, once we attain a critical mass, we automatically begin to cause positive changes in the environment. That is the point I'm making. Automatic is not, this is not about whether you go there and go and shout, no, we no go agree. It's not like that. It's just that you enter police, you're a Christian, and you make your pledge that, listen, you know, as long as I am here, I will not do things the way everybody else is doing them. You go into business, as long as I'm here, I will not do things the way everybody is doing them. Once you do it like that, you automatically affect that environment. Where the devil wins, where we lose that as the body of Christ is when people now say, because of pressure. This business, you know, my mates who started before me, who started after me, the same time I started, And the man completed his bungalow. Yeah, I'm still living in two rooms. And we are doing the same thing. And I say, how is he doing it? Ah, and I say, oh boy, when you are selling 10 liters, you can't sell 10 liters. So. You have to turn it to like 9.1. They no go no. Once you see that one, just give him one scripture. That the Bible says an unjust weight, an unjust measure is an abomination to God. So I will never use abomination to make money in life. My life is not about money. It's about righteousness. The kingdom of God is not about money, dollar or pounds. It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What they said is, you know, eating and drinking. I'm just trying to modify it so as to you know, bring out the sense, the spirit in what he's saying there. Tell the fellow, oh, that's how you've been doing it. Sorry. You won't make money. This one I'm making is called more money, integrity. Yes, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. What am I trying to emphasize? We just need to retain our saltness. All right? Now, having explained, just to revise that again, let me just remind us again. In life, you cannot use your own energy to contend and win in this life. It's by the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? It is God that makes you able to stand. Many people who yap, other people who have taken bribes and given bribes, when you reach there, you will do more than that too. Unless you understand the technique. There is a technique. There is a method by which we stand in life and we do not fall for temptations. And that's what this prayer, short prayer, is about. We'll continue next time. There is a technique. What is that technique? It's simple. First and foremost, it's what you agree with. I began to teach on that last Saturday. It's what you agree with. If you don't agree with something, now, this is not about doing. Let me just first start with that. People want to start from the point of doing. When they have succeeded in doing, they will now agree. That is a problem they have in the Western countries now, like which United States has made itself a champion, and Barack Obama has made itself a one that sold his power and the authority to the beast. All right? That's what he's doing. Okay, that's what Barack Obama is doing. You know that. Now, they say that a man says, I have feeling, you know. What's my name? Adam. What's my feeling? I don't like Eve. I like Steve. And that's how I feel. As I feel it, it must be right. So somebody says, let us ensure that you love Eve, not Steve. Say, okay, let us try. Now, he goes to therapy for a year or two. Then the feeling for Steve returns rather than Eve. So he writes a book and comes to the conclusion that you are fighting what is natural. But like I keep on saying, it's natural does not mean it is right. Are you getting my point? Natural doesn't mean it is right. Okay? That is why we have lights hanging all over this place. It's natural for them to fall down. So what we do is we screw them up there. Is that not true? Yes. Or you want these fans to do the natural thing on top of your head? Of course you don't want the fans to do nothing natural. So behind, under that ceiling, they've been screwed tight so that you won't do that which is what? Natural. It's natural doesn't mean it is right. Say, I was born like that, so? If you come to UNTH, all right, they're always doing open heart surgery now, very regularly, fixing things that people were born with. You won't say, oh, our pilot was born blind, so let him fly. You will go for the next plane and say, that pilot, we don't want to discriminate. He was born blind, but he has to fly, otherwise we'll be discriminating. Something can be natural. Somebody can be born with something, yet it's not right. For that reason, doctors spend time every day, all right, trying to find a cure for some disorders that we know are genetic. We say, okay, this gene is wrong. So we call it what? A genetic mutation. Even though we met it like that, it was here before all the doctors on this earth currently were born. Yet they say it's a genetic what? Mutation. They don't say because it is natural, it has to be right. In the same manner, some people have spiritual mutation in their heads so that instead of being attracted towards a woman, they're attracted towards a man. Now, my story is about what we agree with. Now, when people agree, that's what I'm saying, with what is wrong, they lose the power to do what is right. That's the issue. If you agree with what is wrong, you lose the power to do what is right. So the first place is what you agree with. Conformity is not just in behavior. It is first of all in the thought process. If you say something, I quoted something the other day, that you are really blind when you cannot see anything wrong with what God calls a sin. But the point is this, don't start with how you feel. Just once God has said something, maintain what God has said as your opinion, even if you don't feel like it. Let me just say, I feel in this matter. And now say what you feel. Just vomit your ignorance, your disobedience, your disagreeing with God. No. So what do you think of this matter? Say, let me go and check how I think. I don't know what I get my point. Say, Pastor Frank, what do you think of this issue? I'm not thinking yet. Why? I've not seen what the scriptures say about it. What do you think of this matter? It doesn't matter. Why do I need to think? God has done all the thinking for me. Open the scriptures. So what do you think? Which one is more important? Is somebody... let me just tell you, something really happened. One day somebody said, what if the morning of your wedding, you get a phone call that you should come for a contract of 300 million naira? That was what they said, that the 300 million. Somebody even says dollar. Let's even say it's 1 billion naira. It's the morning of your wedding. Your bride is dressing up. You were wearing a suit when the call came. And you have to be there that day. You are in Enugu, it's in Abuja. If you are not there, the job goes to somebody else. Come and ask the argument. That is the argument I want to tell you about. That day, Inka was just getting angry. Because Inka was in the chat group. I was just there watching. I don't know whether I commented that day. Some people say, let's just say 1 billion. 1 billion is a lot of money. He said, my brother, the only person you owe an explanation to is your wife. Oh. You just call her, explain, baby, after now, we are made. That your wife, see the talk. I said, my God. These are the kind of people I'm having to deal with. So Yinka was saying something. Yinka was just getting angry that day. Now, what is wrong with these people? Now, this is what I'm talking about. A lot of people, how do they reason? Say, man, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Just by the way, that's an unbelieving talk. What did I say? Opportunity comes but once. It's not the gospel for the people who are blessed. It's only when you are not blessed, you believe the opportunity comes but once. And listen to me, everything in life is a test. It's saying something about you. You can get that 1 billion, but God says this boy is unreliable. They can buy him anytime. Everything makes a statement. You say only your wife, it matters. Her father does not matter. Her mother does not matter. The guests, that traveled all the way from Onitsha or Oka to come to Enugu to come and join you, I don't matter. Why? You worship money. That is all. That day, the point I make is that people were talking. I said, my own is that. How do I reason? Simple. Just go and read the scriptures. Say, blessed is the poor man, better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than the rich man that has a lot of money. That has solved it. That this is a matter, forget money, let's talk about integrity first. The priest is waiting, the bishop is waiting. I have made an agreement. He said, the man who wants to approach the throne of God is one that swears to his heart and does not change. I've told my potential father-in-law I'll be there in the morning, told the reverend father or the bishop, whoever it is, I will be there in the morning. Then you now use 1 billion. It's called bow to me and I will give you the kingdoms of this world. I've told you, many people say that I'm not in a coven. They are serving Satan. They just don't know. It's called bow to me. What am I saying? My opinion is not what I think. It's what the scriptures say. That the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Is that faithfulness? I consider all of these things. This is how I say. This is how I look at things. I decide that thing is a temptation of the devil and temptations are meant to be resisted. Are you getting my point? So it's no longer about money now. It's about what? Temptation. It's about righteousness. It's about sin. You know, if you paint things the correct color, you know what it is. You know the way they give children empty thing, paint. If you paint the right color, you know whether it's a devil or it's an angel. Just paint the right color. Any man who says, I have only 12 hours to make a decision on the morning of my wedding, I will tell him I need 13 hours. Listen, let me just say, that's how life is. That's when God makes up his mind. Who's going somewhere or who's not going somewhere. That's what people don't realize. Now I say, no. If you have seen the argument that day, fight. And that is the point. This is the interesting part. This was even a hypothetical situation, though. I don't know what I get the point. Nothing like that was even, and men were already fighting. The money was not, and this is another thing. People couldn't even look closely enough to realize it's a contract, it's not dash. We don't even know how much money you will make from it. See argument. Why? Because men worship money. What am I trying to explain? Back to my main message. That situation has not yet occurred. We're just talking to the law and to the testimony. It's what we agree with. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't ever, ever let your opinion be formed by people of the world. Make sure that all the time your opinion is formed by God. Not how you feel. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Larry Buckets came, he says, one brother came to ask him for advice. He said, what do you think? He said, what I think? I think you should sue him. I think you should carry the banda to police. I think you should ensure that they sell everything he has so as to pay you back. I think, by the time I finish everything, the man said, thank you. He said, that's what I think. Let me now tell you what the Bible says. The man looked like, he said, yes, what I've told you is what I would like to do. That man deserves to go to jail. That man deserves to have all his property seized and liquidated so as to pay you. He deserves it. But let us see what God said we should do. That guy was weak. The man began to open scriptures. By the time he finished, he told him, forget the man. Don't ask him again. Ha! Sir, do you know how much money we are talking about? The man, I've told you what I think. I've told you what God thinks. Go home and choose the one you want to follow. What am I trying to say? If we want to obey God, we must agree with what he thinks. We don't start with how we behave. We agree with how he thinks. If we are going to be salt, it has to be first of all with how we think. I was saying that. Then also, we control how we think by what we see. You see, I thought it's what you say first. Hey, what you think first before what you say. Depends on what you are looking at. If what you are saying is based on how you feel, yes, it's how you think that controls what you say. But if how you feel is in disagreement with what God says, this is how you control how you think and how you feel. You take, because that's one thing that God gives you that obeys you even when you don't agree with it. What I mean is this. I tell everybody, stand up, say after me. I am a woman. You know, everybody here will say, I'm a woman. Say, is he saying all of us should say, I'm a woman? I don't know what I got to say. Have you noticed it before? I will not have to say, please, I'm men, I'm not talking to you. Your mouth can drive any direction. You know why it's like that? Because God says that is what you use to control the rest of your body. So it can be used even though the rest of your body do not agree. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, that's it. That's one thing that can say anything you decide, even if you don't feel like it. So you see, you can use your mouth, and James talks about it like that. I don't want to go start opening scriptures now. That the mouth controls the whole of the body. David talked about my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. That my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. All right? There's something about it. When you talk about being like a pen, that means the mouth writes. That's what I'm trying to say. So when God says, inscribe this thing upon your heart, how do you do it? Use your tongue to write it upon your heart. That's one thing that controls how you think. What am I trying to say? How we obey God is not by we determine and then our body just obeys. No. We go for how, first we must agree with God in how we think. We must refuse to conform with the world in how we think. And one major way by which we can ensure that we think according to God is that which we have heard. We put them on our lips. And that was why he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, you will meditate therein day and night. He said, that's how you'll be careful to do all that is written therein. And then you make your way prosperous and have good success. What was he saying there? He was saying that it is what you... Now, the word meditate, you know, I keep on trying to explain to those who do not know anyway. Here, we repeat all the time. For those who don't know, meditate does not mean to think. In the Hebrew, meditate means to mutter. It's the mutterings, you know. That's soliloquy. When you are talking to yourself, the things that you say is what the Bible calls meditation. All right? That's the meditation. That's meditation. Things that come out of your mouth. And that's what Joshua was saying. You meditate, you talk in that word all the time, and then you control yourself because you have told your tongue what to say. Just quickly say the word of God. Say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Say, according to the word of the Lord Jesus, I am the salt of the earth, and I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth, and I will not lose my saltness. I will not lose my saltness. I will not compromise with the world. I will not think the way they think. I will not behave the way they behave. Say, my thoughts, my character, my behavior, every one of these things, they are controlled by the word of God. I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by the word of God. He says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I walk righteously. Say, therefore, I walk righteously. Say, my body belongs to Him and is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I use it according to that. Say, therefore, I hold it in purity. Therefore, I hold it in sanctification. Not in the lustful ways of the world, but according to the sanctification of Christ. Because my body belongs to Him. Say, in my life, integrity is more important than money. These are the things we cause ourselves to think when we say them. Say it again. For me, integrity, even in the midst of poverty, is more important than money. I would rather be poor and have my integrity than be rich and be without it. Because God says the former is better. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is what God says. It's not how we feel. It's what God says. Listen, you do business. When you are done with the business, let me tell you how to assess whether that business was good or was bad. Say, what was my score on integrity and faithfulness? You know, what we do in business is, how much did I put in? How much did I take out? That is what's primary most of the time for us. But that must never be the thing for Christians. My mother, okay, this business that I did now, it's been on for 2-3 months. Finally, we are done with it. Every time I spoke, did I say the truth? When I told the man, this thing will land here at 30,000 naira, are you sure it was 30,000 or it was 20? I just wanted to make some money. Are you getting my point? You want to say, okay, well, did I tell the truth? That is what decided whether you gained or you lost. It is not about how much money you made. For us believers in Christ Jesus, that is our own score sheet. Do you getting what I'm saying? That is the scorecard. It is our profit and loss book is not naira and kobo. It is truth, lie, faithful, unfaithful, integrity, no integrity, double-mouthedness or single-mouthedness, focus, lack of focus. Did I help somebody or I help myself? When you totally, did you make money? You look and say, man, this business was bad. So your wife say, what happened? Say, man, your husband don't begin lie. Say, which kind of lie you tell? What did that lie net you? So that one made me like 2 million. But that is 2 million we will not spend in this house. What do we do? We either go and give it back. If it's one we can give back. If we can't give it back. You know, there are things we can't give back. You know, like you stole money from, you're dealing the business with government. Who you want to give the money back to now? Maybe the admission don't even go. So no wahala. We share the money into 5 portions. Motherless baby, fatherless baby, brotherless baby, uncleless baby. Just share to all the homes. Say, I'm not eating. I'm not the chop. Say, Lord, I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. No, when you do that two times, nobody will tell you to tell the truth. You just realize that, man, this line does not pay. It doesn't pay. It does not pay. But last time we did it, all the money went to all the somethingless babies. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? All right. So that's how we as Christians, that's how we, you know, we assess ourselves. All right. Now let's declare it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Better is the poor man with his integrity,
than the rich man without integrity.
I choose to have integrity. Say it again. I choose to have integrity.
I refuse to conform to the world.
I choose to have integrity.
Now say this. Say, I will never
disgrace the name of the Lord Jesus.
I will always carry that name
as a banner before me.
What I mean is that it's a standard by which we are walking. That is, I just want to make sure that my life truly reflects, you understand?
Like we've been saying this Saturday, that you cannot preach a gospel that your life does not preach. You can't use your mouth to say what your life is not saying, all right? These are the things we as Christians must always, we say this into ourselves all the time. It doesn't matter how we feel, all right?
Now say, they say, though the young lions lack
and suffer hunger,
I will seek the Lord,
and I will not lack anything good.
I will fear God in everything that I do.
I will fear God in everything that I do.
Knowing that He's always watching me,
and He's the one that's my judge.
Let me just say something to you. Everything in life, I said earlier, is a test. God is using to decide that, is this boy going forward? Is this girl going forward? He's not using this one. It's not that thing. Are you getting my point? It's not that thing. Everything you are doing is a test. And listen, in your life, everything you are doing right now is what?
A test.
God is qualifying you. God is qualifying you. There's something up ahead He wants to take you into. He just saying, now prove that I should put you there. Prove that I should put you there. And so what we are using our mouth to do is to ensure that we qualify ourselves. Listen, anything you don't feel like doing, write it down and declare it loudly. Once you know it's the word of God. And now, many of you here are not married, but I want you to join those of us who are married and declare this. So it will be sweet, all right? If I say only those who are married, the thing will be too few. You just hear one or two mouths. All right? Everyone who's married and those who are hoping to marry one day, just join and declare. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Just the men alone, please. Just the men alone. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I love my wife.
As Christ loves the church.
I am patient.
I am loving.
I am kind towards my wife.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it again. Say, I am patient.
I am patient.
Now, I've been married to be 16 years. I just wanted to read 16 so I can be saying 16 years. It's actually 15 years, all right? Anyway, I know that one of the greatest shortcomings of those of us who are husbands is patience. All right? It's patience. Okay? We want God to be patient with us. But we are not as patient with those that God said, you know. So declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Love is kind.
Love is kind.
Love is patient.
Love is patient.
Therefore, I am patient. Say, I love my wife.
I
am patient with my wife.
As Christ is patient
with me. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, women, say after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I respect my husband.
I am submissive to my husband
as the church is submissive to Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I love him.
I honor him.
I hold him in high esteem.
And I conform myself to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, those words I've used, if you read the book, if you read Amplified Bible, that's actually what he uses. It's very interesting in the Amplified. Let me just read it to those of us who are here. Quickly, First Peter. If you read it in the Amplified Bible, it's very, very powerful, the way Peter said it. That would be chapter 3, I think. All right. If you see, he said, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on and adapt yourselves to them. He says, you are to, verse 2 says, together with your, that you're talking about your reverence. He said you have to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to,
revere, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. My God. If you can do this, your life will not be the same again. All right, let's just say together, women, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I reverence my husband.
I respect him.
I defer to him.
I honor him.
I esteem him.
I
appreciate him.
I prize him.
I adore him.
I admire.
Praise.
I am devoted to.
I deeply love.
And I enjoy my husband.
In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Now, while you do these things, I'm just trying to show us an example. This is how you control yourself. Are you getting my point? When you stay somewhere and Satan starts telling you, don't mind him. That's how he does, as if his head is not correct. What is his problem? Last time he did like this, we lost money, and then we're late, we missed our flight. The story just counted for you everything that he has done that is wrong. I know the annoying part. He's correct in every single one. The question is, how will you respond? You just pick up the scripture, say, let me tell you how I want to respond. This is a piece of my mind. However, let me give you the peace of God's mind. And he takes this one, and when you do it three times, Satan will say that there are better people to break their families than this one that won't even listen to us. He will go somewhere else. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. In the same manner, when Satan comes to you and say, your wife, the car, hey, when you bought the last one, second day, what happened to the mirror? Which is really not a lie. She would just say, I told her that day, don't pass that Holy Ghost area. She said she was in a hurry. And she passed like this. What do you call it? In Benin, we call it tuke-tuke. What do you call bus in Enugu? Is it just bus? Eh? I can't pronounce that too. You know, Lagos and Benin, where I live, they have names for it. In Benin, it's tuke-tuke. In Lagos, it's downfall, you understand? That's why your downfall just collected the mirror. And I told her specifically not to pass there that day. This is how they do. When that one starts, this is how you respond. You can make up your mind and say, she will never drive in this house again. Satan says, yes, why should she drive? Until you get a driver, she's not going anywhere. Let her go and take a taxi. Yes, I agree with you. So I've seen all of those things. What do you do? It's simple. I love my wife as Christ loves the church. The commandment of God is love your wife. Love is patient. Love is kind. Do you understand? That is it. Love is patient. Love is kind. When you do it a few times, you say, does it mean I should let my wife be bashing my car recklessly? I don't know. When it reaches that point, God will let you know what to do. When you start declaring such words, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, let me possess this girl and teach her how to drive. Are you getting my point? There are different ways by which he manifests himself. I hope you've got my point today. I hope you've got my point. I hope you are blessed today. Quickly, let us share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.